All right, John chapter number 20, verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, which was John, and came to the sepulchre. And so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, and saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin which was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Verse 11, I want you to pay attention to these verses. Verse number 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, one on the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they laid him. Verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Because thou seekest, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, what a blessing, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Of course, the story goes on, but we'll stop there for sake of time. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Fathers, we bow before you in the name of Jesus today. Lord, I pray, dear God, for unction. I pray for the power of God. Lord, I pray for clarity of thought, Lord, that you will help me in this meeting, God, to say what needs to be said. Nothing more, nothing less. We pray, God, your will to be done. And Lord, I pray you'd save sinners, stir the saints of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd get maximum glory, defeat the powers of hell. Thank you, God, for being good. Thank you for saving me, Lord, 34 years ago. Greatest thing that ever happened to me. Lord, I pray you'll cleanse us, God, of anything and everything that would grieve or hinder the sweet Holy Ghost of God from moving and working in this service. May it weigh heavy, God, upon me. And may it weigh heavy, Lord, upon every saved person in this building, that there are, in fact, lost people in our midst. Lord, this may be our last shot. This may be our last chance to try to reach them with the gospel. We need the power of God. Lord, our performance will not get the job done. Going through a rut and a ritual, dear Father, will not get the job done. We need the reality of the risen Christ in our midst today. Help me, I pray, to preach what you'd have me to. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I'm interested in something that the Lord spoke to my heart about, or has showed me in my devotions this week, earlier in the week. And as I began to look at it, I began to note in verse number 11, down through these next few verses that we read, that the word weeping or wept is referred to four times. Verse 11, Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And it said, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Verse 13, and of course the angels was saying to her, in verse 13, they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Goes on in verse number 15. Jesus Christ is now talking to her. She didn't know it was him. She thought he was the gardener. But still yet the question came, woman, why weepest thou? Why weepest thou? And of course you and I, knowing the story, and we're looking in and we're seeing the completion, we know all of the outcome, we know the details. We look into this scene and we would like, likewise would like to say to Mary, why are you weeping? Why weepest thou? Mary, you should be worshiping. Every reason for you to worship is before you. The empty tomb is before you. Promise of the Word of God has been fulfilled. Prophecies fulfilled. All of that. But yet she's weeping. And I began to think on that, and I believe today that a lot of this congregation, and I'm afraid me included a lot of times, we come to the truth of the resurrection in a sense weeping. What are you talking about weeping? That weeping referenced a natural passion. There wasn't nothing spiritual about her weeping. Now that's what got my attention. Brother Carroll, there was not one thing spiritual about her weeping at the tomb. And I'll tell you one way to confirm that is, had she found the body of the Lord, she wouldn't have been weeping. She was weeping because she couldn't find his body. Tell me where you've laid him. Tell me where you've stole him away. She would have been content to have found the body of the Lord. And we know what that would have done to every doctrine of Scripture had they found the body of the Lord. She, Brother Brad, 100% was dealing with the resurrection in a natural way. And when I say a natural way, I'm talking about with just the old human nature. There wasn't nothing spiritual about it. She wasn't coming in faith. She was coming in feelings. Amen. She wasn't coming worshiping, but rather she came with her natural feelings being exposed, weeping. And I'm afraid that's the way we look at the resurrection a lot of times, is from a natural perspective. We try our best to pull Christ down to our level. Tell me where you put his body. Tell me where you've laid his body and I'll go get him. Amen. Are you seeing that? I hope you see that. Four times she was weeping and the question was asked, why weepest thou? Not one time did she think that this was the result of a supernatural work of God, that this was in fact the resurrection of Christ, but she could not get past the natural to believe that somebody had stolen him. Look back in chapter 20 in verse number 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they laid him. Why are you weeping, Mary? We can't find his body. Why are you weeping, Mary? We don't know where they've laid him. Somebody has come and got him. And looking at it whole, totally from a natural mindset. No wonder she is weeping. Have you ever seen as many Christians in your life? Their lives are filled with weeping. Their lives are filled with sorrow. Because they're thinking about spiritual things, what should be spiritual things. They're thinking about them with a natural feeling, a natural emotion, and a natural mind. Oh, yes. Tell me where you've laid him. You can go Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and also in John, and you can find that in every case they thought they'd stolen. Amen. In fact, in Matthew's gospel account of that, Pilate, he knew that Jesus had said that 3 days I'm rising again. You tear this temple down, 3 days I'll build it up again. Pilate knew that he had said that, but Pilate didn't believe what he said. In fact, Pilate said after the crucifixion, Pilate said, he said he would do this, and the disciples, if we don't make sure the grave, if we don't put a stone in front of the grave and seal it, that the disciples will come in the night and steal the body of the Lord and then go around preaching that he's alive. You realize today that that's what people think about us as Christians? That we have only fabricated some story. Nothing factual, we fabricated. Oh, they come and steal the body, but then they're going to preach that he's alive. Hey, I want to tell you, God's people don't have to fabricate nothing. We don't have to fabricate truth. We've got a Bible that declares truth. We don't have to act like the tomb is empty when it is not. We don't have to put our works in it and our hands in it and say, amen, and lay the corpse over somewhere and say he's alive. No, no, he is alive this morning. And every doctrine of the Scripture hinges on that. If we don't have a risen Savior, we don't have a Bible. If we don't have a risen Savior, listen, there's no hope of heaven. There's no risen Savior. Listen, there's no need to pray because we don't have a high priest. If there's no risen Savior, you don't have anybody to answer your prayers. No need to ask God to save you because he can't. If there's no Savior that's alive. Amen. Weeping instead of worshiping. This is what I want to deal with this morning, if I may, weeping instead of worshiping. And I'm afraid that's us, isn't it?
Right.
Have every reason, scripturally, to worship. But because we're so governed and so controlled by the natural. Natural passions is my word I want to use on that. Natural passions. She was weeping because of natural passions. Because of a natural attachment that she had had to the Lord. And that attachment was broken. And that attachment, just like us, if we lose a loved one or a loved one's taken out in death, the same feelings we have, that's what she was feeling. She never looked at Jesus. She wasn't looking at Jesus from a spiritual standpoint. She looked at Jesus from a natural standpoint. How many people in church like that? They never look at Jesus from a scriptural or a supernatural or spiritual standpoint. They look at Jesus from a natural standpoint. Oh, he's just a good buddy. He's my friend. I love him. Amen. God help us. But natural passions were involved here. And you can't help but agree with that when you see verses like verse 15. Verse number 15, Jesus said to her, "Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said, "Sir," she was even accusing him. She said, "If thou hast borne him hence, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." I couldn't get over that, Brother Brackets. That the fact is that Mary would have been content to have found the body of the Lord. Had she found him, she wouldn't have been weeping when she should have been weeping. Amen. I don't know if you're getting that or not, but that's just, I believe that, ladies and gentlemen, we're weeping instead of worshiping. We're dealing with Jesus from a natural point of view. Amen. Instead of a spiritual and a supernatural point of view. Amen. That's right. Oh yeah, they no doubt wouldn't have been near as broken and wouldn't have been weeping on the level they were had they found the body of the Lord. But the fact that he was missing was what had them tore up. They were tore up over that. Well, I'm glad they didn't find him. Amen. I'm glad he wasn't stolen away. I'm glad he's, amen, I'm glad he's not in some grave somewhere.
Right, right.
And you know that. That's what separates true Christianity from all other religions of the world, all other false religions of the world.
Right.
Our Savior lives today.
Right.
Praise God.
Right.
And that's not a figment of our imagination. That's not fabricated stories that we've come up with to try to back up what we believe. No, we don't make Jesus come and form him and bring him into what we believe. We believe what we believe because of him. Amen. I know he's alive this morning. Amen. Finding the body would have catered to their natural grief and their natural hurts had they found the body of the Lord. I say unto you, they're dealing with the resurrection with natural passions. Natural passions. They were weeping because his body was gone, even though there was grounds for worship. Not only natural passions, but I noticed something else that I see here. They're looking at natural people. They're looking at natural people. Look back in verse number 2. I underscored this. It got big to me when I was reading it. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto him, look at it, they have taken. Here Mary, ladies and gentlemen, is putting others into the equation. Verse 13, the angels were speaking to Mary and said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Why weepest thou? You don't have a reason to weep. You're weeping because you're natural instead of spiritual.
Right.
Amen. And look what it says here. Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away, they is people. They, somebody, I don't know who it is, but somebody has taken away the Lord. And I know not where they have laid him. And again, verse 15, Jesus talking to her. Why weepest thou? Sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. Thought he was the gardener.
Yeah.
You've taken him away. Tell me where he's at. Tell me where the corpse is at. Tell me where his body is at. And I want to tell you, friend, every religion would love to produce a body of the Lord. They'd love to go dig him up or find him somewhere because that would destroy everything that we believe and hold true. Amen. She not only had her mind on natural passions. Oh my, that point right there can be preached the whole service this morning. How we look at our life through the natural eye. And respond with natural feelings. That's why most people in church are defeated about nearly 90% of the time. We're celebrating, at least on a national recognized note this morning, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There ought to be worship, my friend. There ought to be worship in this place. There ought to be an awareness of God in this place. There ought to be a God consciousness in this place. But I'm afraid, just like Mary came to the actual tomb with a natural passion, I'm afraid we're sitting on church pews with natural passions. I believe that. God, help us. We've brought Jesus down to a natural relationship. That's it. That's what's happened to us. That's why, amen. That's why when everything's going hunky-dory and everything's great, you're doing fine. You smile, you come to church, but then when things go bad, when things go south, when things go wrong, amen, as Mary was looking at this equation, oh, this has gone wrong. Somebody stole the Lord. I would have prevented this if I could. I didn't want this. I would have never welcomed this, but it's happened. She was looking at it with a natural passion. And that's how we look at our life a lot of times. God can be fulfilling promises. God can be fulfilling purpose. God can be fulfilling, my friend, prophecy. God can be working, listen, God can be working great, great works in your life. And you look at it with a natural mind and a natural passion, amen, a natural relationship, and you'll miss it. You'll be weeping. Instead of shouting the victory and worshiping the Lord, you'll be weeping. Why? You look at Jesus as a spare tire or some natural relationship. Amen. That got big to me, Brother Ivan. She would not have been near as tore up or even tore up had she found his body. She come to the tomb totally from a natural perspective, and I'm afraid that's how we deal with the Lord. I'm afraid that's how I deal with the Lord a lot. It's amen right there. Amen. We have too small of a view of who God is. We have the Word of God. Jesus spent, and you can go back and look at it through his life. He spent time telling them, I'm going to rise again. But they didn't know it. They didn't believe it. They couldn't get a hold of it. Amen. They were looking at Jesus the whole time from a just natural relationship. He is raising people from the dead. He was causing the blind to see. He was causing the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. And the lepers were cleansed, and they still looked at him as old pal, old buddy, old friend. And when he died on an old rugged cross, the only thing that was tore them up was that they wouldn't have him with them. Yeah. Because he catered to them. If they was hungry, he'd feed them. If they was sick, he'd heal them. He was a traveling grocery store, a mobile doctor's office. But when he died, that was what tore them up, because they didn't have him like that no more. Amen. He's always picking them up. He's telling Peter to put his sword back up. Amen. He's always picking them up. Spent all of the whole post-resurrection days he spent picking up his people. Can you believe that? Can you imagine how Jesus feels about us? Can you imagine that? Are y'all with me this morning? Can you imagine how Jesus felt standing there talking to Mary? If anybody ought to knew him, she should have. Right. And he's talking to her, and she thought he was a gardener. And talking to the very risen Christ, and said, now, sir, if you've stole his body, if you've taken him away, please tell me where you put him. Well, the natural mind is about ignorant, isn't it? You can be talking to the very Son of God and exposing our foolishness. Natural passions. Natural passions. God doing the greatest work that he's ever done in the Scripture. And she's coming weeping. We got a risen Savior this morning, and what's our attitude? Are you glad or mad or sad this morning? If you could score or scale your spiritual life this morning on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being terrible, 10 being the best, what would you rate yourself this morning? Spiritually. When's the last time you got excited about the Lord? We come to church. I'll tell you why our churches are drying up. And I'll tell you why our churches are in decline. I'll tell you why our churches, my friend, are in defeat. Is that we're just like Mary. We are just like Mary. We're dealing with Jesus from a natural relationship instead of a spiritual and a supernatural relationship. Oh, yes. That's why we're, in essence, weeping. That's why we're down. That's why we're sad. You can't hardly find a joyful Christian anymore. Right. Isn't that right?
Right?
Can't hardly find a joyful preacher anymore.
Right.
That's right. God help us. Why? We're just like Mary. I just like Mary. We're dealing with Jesus with natural passions. Then we're dealing with Jesus with natural people. We're always blaming somebody else. Yes, somebody else has done stole him. Somebody else has put their 2 cents worth of. Somebody else has put their hand in on the equation. Somebody else has done something. He's not here because somebody else has done something. You know, we'd probably do a lot better off spiritually if we'd quit trying to blame everybody for those things missing in our life. What was missing in her life right here was a divine appointment of God. Yeah, natural passions and natural people. They have. I preach I would be faithful to church, but they have. I would be faithful reading my Bible, but they have. Preach, I used to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and I used to testify, and I used to be excited, and I used to be this, used to, but they. God help us. I guarantee that's right. Natural passions and natural people, they have taken away the Lord. They have stolen him away. They have. Yeah, three times. And then let me say this. There's a third thing I want to emphasize real quick, and that is a natural perception. Natural passions. Just a natural relationship. Couldn't find his body, so that's the reason I'm weeping. And God asked three times, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? Even the resurrected Christ in Luke 24, talking to the two on the road to Emmaus, asked those two, why are you sad? You know why? They all looked at the resurrection from a natural, they looked at it as a natural disaster. Oh yeah, he's crucified, he's dead, and somebody's stolen his body. I mean, God forbid that we'd think of a verse of scripture, you know, that he said he would rise again. No, the natural man don't claim scripture. The natural man don't lean on promises. The natural man blames people. The natural man looks for a natural excuse and said, they done it, or amen, that's right. But natural perception, where do you get that? Here in verse number 15, she's talking to the very Son of God and don't even know it's him. He is in her life close. He is in her life visible. He is in her life verbal, and she don't even know it's him. So, preach, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when we deal with the Lord with natural passions, amen, just natural feelings, natural emotions, pull him down to our level, amen. Had she found the body of the Lord, it would have catered and comforted and soothed her weeping. Right. That right there shows you it wasn't spiritual. Right. Amen. 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 But natural passions and natural people. And then there's natural perception. What are you talking about? Her operating with natural passions, blaming natural people, now have no perception of God. They have no discernment of the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how many people in church have no discernment about Jesus? Amen. Mary here thought he was the gardener. Didn't even know he was the Lord. Amen. The disciples were fishing. You know, John 20-21, they said, we're going fishing. They go fishing. Jesus is standing on the shore talking to them, calling them children. And the Bible said they knew not that it was the Lord. When we, me included, when we operate with the natural man, the natural nature, human nature, earthly nature, and we try to pull Jesus down to the natural and deal with him on a natural level of passions and a natural level of people, then we're going to have a natural perception. We won't recognize him. He can be right there talking to you face to face and you won't even know it's the Lord. God can send a message through the man of God and you won't even have a clue. I've seen it, Brother Fultz. I've seen it where God moved in the house of the Lord and was speaking to people and dealing and working, and the people were sitting there like, you know, just completely on a natural level. You know, God help us. Can you imagine that? He had to spend all of his post-resurrection days introducing himself to the very people that followed him. Spent 40 days after the resurrection, didn't talk to one sinner, didn't reveal himself to one sinner. He spent 40 days dealing with people that should already have believed in him, should have already been following him, that should have already been devoted and dedicated to him. But just as soon as he was crucified and was placed in the grave, amen, listen, that whole crowd went in error. Peter said, I'm going fishing. And that wasn't talking about a recreation. That was a reference. Peter is saying, I'm going back to what I used to be. I'm giving this up. This is a bunch of hooey. I'm going back to what I used to do. I used to be a fisherman. I'm going back to that. And he was so convincing that all the other disciples, including John, which amazes me, said, we're going with you. And every one of them got in a boat with him. And when Jesus, my friend, would appear to them, they didn't even know it was him. The two on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, Jesus was walking with them in the way, and they didn't even know who he was. But praise God for this. Not one time do you find Jesus kicking them. You'd have thought, I would think, oh Lord, if they would have done me that way. I spent my life, my friend, preaching to them and showing them my power. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him perform miracles, and they still didn't believe. Now if that had been me, Brother Rob, I'd have spent 40 days beating on them. I'd have spent 40 days kicking them. Or rather, I'd have spent 40 days cutting them off and going and finding me somebody else. But not one. He knows our frame. He knows we are but dust. He knows that. Amen. Who was preaching on dust the other night? Was it here or somewhere? Somebody's talking about dust is worthless. Who was that? That was somebody right here. Brother Lawson, that's right. Last Sunday was talking about dust. He said, God knows that we're dust. The Bible says we're dust, not dirt. Dirt, you can grow stuff in dirt, but dust, you can't grow nothing in dust. Dust is worthless. Dust is useless. Amen. It can't produce nothing. And the Lord said, yeah, I know that's what you are. I know that's what you're made of. You are but dust. Amen. Hallelujah. Worthless. But you find him. John 20, you find him there. 21, you find him, Brother Silas, on the shore. Looking at a boatload of his disciples out there, and they're backslid as a goat. And he said to them, children! I could have thought of other terms to have called them rather than that. But the compassionate Lord, the merciful Lord, the gracious Lord, knowing our frailty, knowing our feebleness, knowing how fickle we are, he stands, Brother Chris, on the shore, and he says, children, I know you're in a sorry condition, but I'm still addressing you as children. Hallelujah. And he didn't just call them children. He said, come and dine. Come and dine. They had toiled all night and caught nothing. Jesus already had the fish on the fire. He done cooked for them. He done come to them. He already called to them. Hey, man. You said, what was that meaning when he said, come and dine? He was saying, I forgive you. Come and dine says, I want to fellowship with you. I want to feed you. You ain't doing too good for yourself. I want to feed you. You tried everything. You've worked yourself to death all night and caught nothing. I want to feed you. That's the kind of Lord we have. That's the kind of Savior that we have today. But talking about the natural perception is that when we get cold and distant from the Lord, what we do is we lose our spiritual perception. We don't lose our natural perception. Have you ever noticed that? I discern every valley, every negative. I discern all of that. I don't lose my natural. Oh, yeah, they're talking about me. But I lose my spiritual perception. I can read the Bible and get nothing. I can pray and hear nothing and have no access. Amen. Are you listening? I'm talking about trying to deal with Jesus on a natural level, and I'm afraid that's where most people are. They claim to be saved, but they never go on to a spiritual life. Does that not trouble anybody? Does that not trouble you? That you're holding on and you're embracing a profession of faith that hasn't produced a spiritual life? Does that bother you? It should. Can you really bank on a salvation that don't do anything much for your life now? Can you really count on that to take you to heaven when you die? Easter resurrection to most people is a new suit of clothes, family get together. There'll be people, Brother Klepper, you talked about opening Sunday school. There'll be people go to church today, this morning, and they won't go until next. Well, they might go Thanksgiving. But then they'll tell you they're saved. If the resurrected Christ, if the resurrection of Jesus Christ does not have practical and personal effects in your life, I'll question whether you know Him. He's not just a risen Savior, Brother Brad, that's on the throne. He's a risen Savior that's in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do you see any of that? Listen, preacher's preaching right now. Do you see any of that in your life? Do you see any practical evidence? Brother Brackage, I thought about this morning. If you'd have looked at the disciples of the Lord, and there was a lot of them, by the way, after the resurrection, we know He appeared to over 500 brethren at one time. 500. I don't know where they were at the cross. I don't know where they were in the upper room in Acts 2. I don't know where them 500 were, but He said there was 500 brethren at one time. There was a lot of disciples. But this got big to me. When you look at any of them, Mary, John, Peter, or any of the rest, you could not tell by looking at them that Jesus was alive. Follow them to the tomb, listen to their conversation, look at their countenance, no indication that Jesus was alive. And we're about there in this day and hour in which we live. Look at the supposed claimed followers of Christ, and there's very little evidence that Jesus is alive. Your salvation ought to be one of the greatest testimonies of a living Savior on planet Earth. Because He lives, we shall live also. Amen. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you hath He quickened. Made alive is what the word quickened means. Resurrected. Regenerated. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Listen, when you get saved and God regenerates your dead spirit and puts life in you and puts His Spirit in you and His nature in you, as you walk among men, that Christian life, that is a testimony that He is alive. But Brother Rob, the opposite is true as well. When a saved person makes choices to live a carnal life, worldly, fleshly, half-hearted, straddle-the-fence life, you know what you're doing? You're hiding the Son of God. And you are showing to a world, you're helping to show the world, you're helping to show the world He is not alive. because I have no life in me. Does it, Brother Silas, does it make you about half sick when somebody that don't even go to church will talk about in a positive way the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about somebody that can't go to church. I know there are some like that, and don't, I hope I don't have to spend 15 minutes defending myself. I know there's people that cannot go. They're bedfast. They're in, some are in jail. Some are in the rest homes and so forth, and, you know, physical, complete physical breakdowns. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that's just blatantly laying out the house of God. No practical evidence of the living Savior. Natural passions, natural people, and a natural perception. But I'm glad the story don't end like that. I'm glad the story doesn't end like that. And I'll close with this. Look in verse number 15. Jesus Christ asking her, "Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Look at this. She's supposing. No facts on it. She just supposed, she guessed that he was the gardener. And says unto him, "Sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." Verse 15, she said, "Woman." But when he addressed her personally, when he addressed her particularly, when he addressed her by name, and he said, "Mary," in verse number 16, she turned herself. That meant, to me, that meant she'd already talked to him as the gardener. Some of you need to get past that. He's not the gardener. He's God. Amen. Amen. And amen, that's good. Oh, yes. And the indication by the fact she turned herself, she had already turned away from him and was walking away weeping and in despair. Well, probably scratching her head. Wonder where he's at. I wonder who stole him. I wonder where he's at. Whose house is he in? They've got him laid somewhere. Will I ever find him? And about that time, she says, he says, "Mary." Nobody ever say your name like he can. Nobody can ever get personal with you like he can. Oh, she's not weeping now. She heard him say Mary. And she turned around and seen him. And he called her Mary. And she turned around and said, "Rabboni," which means master. She's not weeping now. She's not operating with a natural passion. She's not operating blaming others. Oh, they, nobody stole him. It wasn't nobody's fault. Nobody done it. The natural passions left, the natural people blaming left, the natural perception loss. We don't know him. Amen. All that's gone. And she calls him Rabboni, which is to say master. Are you weeping or worshiping this morning? God wants to take you from weeping in the natural to worshiping in the spiritual. That's what he wants to do. How many of you this morning are like Mary? You're dealing with Jesus on a natural level. That's why you don't ever get excited. Some of you don't ever get excited about the Lord. And I know, like Brother Ivan said, to get excited about the Lord doesn't mean you have to put footprints on the ceiling and, you know, climb the steeple or none of that. But there'll be something in you. There'll be a stirring in you. There'll be a moving in you. There'll be an emotion in you. God, deliver me from this spirituality that is void of emotions. That's not emotionalism. Emotionalism is just being excited about everything and about nothing. But true spirituality has emotions. Joy is an emotion. Peace. And she went from weeping to worshiping. From dealing with him from a natural, just a natural relationship to a spiritual relationship. She said, first she addressed him as gardener. But after the revelation and the communication, of the Savior, she looks at him and she says, "Oh, you're the master." Some of you need to get beyond the gardener image and get to let him open your eyes. You ought to ask him, say, "Lord, help me to get my perception back. Help me to get my joy back. Lord, I want that to where I can recognize you and I know you. Spiritual level." By the way, when we go to heaven, friend, the natural is going to be left here. You better get to know Jesus on a spiritual level if you're going to heaven. Amen. Because there won't be nothing natural there. There'll be no natural there. No natural nothing there. Let's all stand to our feet.